wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. I'll change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Stop lying.
need a color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Coming up. And a world. And a world. Good morning, good morning, good morning from cloudy Sacramento. I was kind of busy today. Got a lot of youth out working today. You know, I have the Flooring Road community cleanup with our young folks, and it took me all this morning to get them going. I'm not on my regular phone. Give me a minute. I'm going to play one more song, and I just ran in the house. I should be ready for y'all. One more song. Give me one more song, y'all. Hey, it is great to be alive. Let me tell you that. And God is good all the time. Let me tell you that as well. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. If I sound like I'm out of breath, that's because I was moving to get to this show. You hear me? Man, this show right here, I don't want to miss it. But I also got to make sure that our young folks are safe out there. And I had to step out and be a part of their world today. And so my screen went black. So I'm going to react like that, right? I can't even see nothing. So to the ladies and gentlemen that are ear hustling right now, normally our co-host and our host with the most would be on Mark the Disciple and Mr. Marvell Wilson, along with Double R and First Lady of Radio, them the co-hosts, right? I'm running, and y'all bear with me, man. It ain't easy being one geezy. What I can say is last night, man, y'all missed it. Man, we had our brothers with a few of our young folks and a few of our lady friends in the building at 24th and Florin, and we had a fentanyl listening session. And man, let me tell you, there was a young man that I met through Marvell, through Miss First Lady of Radio, Miss Clarice, named Jimmy. And Jimmy came and dropped the mic, y'all. I got the page up. We won't have to look. Mark the Disciple, I'm in the house. Are you in the house?
Grand Rising, kings and queens. Yes, sir.
All right.
A glorious night,
right.
A glorious day.
Hey, Sherman, are you in?
Good morning, everyone. God is with you all. I really got the mic.
I say. Double R in the car.
Double R in the car, top of the top, black family. God is great. Let's get it in.
Yes, sir. Let's go to Larry. Larry, what's going on, Larry?
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry I missed last night. Getting ready for AJ to take off today for his cruise.
All right.
I'm here.
All right. And what about First Lady of Radio, Miss Clarice?
Yes. Oh, thanks for that news. I just had a big disappointment this morning. I rearranged my whole schedule to do something, and it didn't happen. And we were just talking about what do you do with disappointment. But when I heard that news, because that young man came in, I didn't even have to call him again. He came. I am so excited. I had talked with his grandmother, and I said, look, we're not giving up on him. I said, I'm not giving up on him. We're not giving up. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for what you do. Thank all of you for just being there and being in support. I sign off.
I say. I got the window man here, our lawn man. Rock hit our big sliding glass, so I got the window man here. If you hear anything in the background, that's the sound of the window man. Also, the glass man, Kenny Ken from Quick Pass Mobile Glass. I might have to play his commercial. But I got Mr. Joe, Uncle Joe. Joe, what's going on?
Shit, it's all right if it's all night. I'm good. Yes, I'm pretty good today. Glad to be with everybody.
All right. So I don't want to do all the talking. I'm going to put Mark the Disciple because Marvell is doing training for the next 2 days. He won't be on the line. He's doing a training for mindfulness. And so he's going to be him, Ms. Jacobs, and Coach Sturman are doing a training for the next 2 days for it's an all-day training, right, so they can get certified. So Mr. Marvell Wilson will not be here today, and so I'm going to need y'all to pick up where he left off. Now, I was waiting on Mama Chocolate to get in because we was going to talk about what we talked about last night, and that's fentanyl, and our youth using fentanyl. So we had Brother Eric come through. He had, when he told me the story, it was two. Then we was fishing, it was three. Last night he lost another one. I mean, yesterday he lost another one of his family members. He was shook up. He just shook up, and he learned a lot. But we still have to polish our act, right? Because what my son said, he said, if it wasn't for Jimmy, I wouldn't have thought that the drug game was all that bad, because all the men that come in and talk about how they was on drugs for 20, 30 years, they look like good gentlemen to me. And my son, when he said that, I caught what he was saying. He was saying that they'd used the drug and it don't look like it affected them. But what I had to tell him, that's maybe two, three out of a million, a trillion. Everybody don't bounce back, son. Everybody don't have the desire or the heart to want to do better. If you want me to take you tomorrow and show you those that didn't bounce back and these gentlemen's age, you'll see the difference. And then I told him, and these men, do you hear how they give thanks to God for saving them, for sparing them? He said, yeah, I hear that. I said, so a lot of people don't believe and trust in God to move the mountain for them or change their situation. And so if you don't have God, what do you have? And so me and my wife and my son sat up until 11:30. I got in the bed at 11:30. So we, about 11 o'clock, talking about this situation, because my son was very concerned. Like I said, the young man, Jimmy, did what was supposed to be done, because what he told my son and the rest of them youth is that he had to get high just to come talk to him. And, man, he was on point with the truth. He told him how he can't sleep, how that dope have him jerking. Oh, my son, hey, if he wasn't in school right now, he'd be on this radio so he could tell what he heard and tell how he feel about what he heard. And so I'm going to check in with these young men today and find out how did they feel about this young man coming in, because us old heads can tell you about what we've been through, but we got through, see? And so just because we got through don't mean you'll get through if you get caught up. And the drugs of choice now is 10 times stronger than anything. The weed we were smoking back then ain't the weed y'all smoking today. The drugs we did back then ain't the drugs y'all doing today. As Jimmy said, they got men in parts of this city got pill pressers pressing pills and making dope, putting what he say they was putting in it. Joe, was you the Joe? Let me go to Joe and Mark.
Yeah,
what did he say?
Yeah, I was listening to him. It sounded like me.
Some Pine Sol,
Ajax, Clorox, and some other cleaning, but Pine Sol. That's right, Pine Sol. And I could Pine Sol. Good Lord, when he said that, and he said, yeah, they snorted it, and oh my God. But man, let's do more of that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have another one scheduled for next month. We're gonna get some more. So what the youth told me, and just to be honest, they said that the two ladies from the program, Fentana, is FentanaH. Fentana is for you know, their name of their organization. My son and DeAndre said that they trained folks, but they couldn't hold the podium. And what they were saying is that they kept stumbling and mumbling and fumbling about the information that they say that they teach. And so let me tell you all this. Our young folks, when they paying attention, they paying attention. And so they was paying attention to know that they got more out of Jimmy than the professionals. Because, see, Jimmy is one that uses. You see, Jimmy is the one that has the experience of what the drug can do and will do. Jimmy is closer to their age. So it was big, man. It was, like I said, I'm so excited because my son got something out of it. You know, we caught him smoking weed, and he fessed up. He didn't lie to us. He fessed up with his Mexican friends. And so my wife think because this young man that he was hanging with got straight A's and, you know, an honor student, that things wouldn't be bad for him if he hung with this one kid, right? But come to find out, this young kid, you have to do the research. His mom wasn't in his life all his life, so now that she is, she allows him to do just about anything, right? Trying to win back his love. And what I told my wife and her, I said, a mother that is not healed, I put it on my Facebook too, a mother that is not healed is a son's worst enemy. Oh, Lord, let me say it again. A woman that is not healed is a young man or her son's worst enemy. And I see it day to day. I see it day to day in my own home. We talk about it. We discuss these situations. And so just because I do a lot with kids and I got a pulse on the kids don't mean the one that's in my house listening to everything I say or trying to do the right things by what he sees us doing. He don't see us stealing, killing, robbing, smoking, drinking. He don't see that here in this house. He don't see that. He don't see that. And so when he gets out there, he sees the people that he admire, and I got to say that, the people he want to be like or want to hang with, if they doing what they doing, sometime point in time, I remember it probably was a no, but then it became a yes. Let me get right back to y'all because I got Paul from the hall on along with the crew. Paul, I'm going to you right now. Holler at me. It's a good morning. It's a good Thursday morning. Good morning.
Right. Good morning. Yeah, so we got a full line here. We got Foe. We got our brother Pond. We got brother Ken. We got brother Big B. It's Paul from the hall. We're coming at you this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. God bless everyone.
Good morning. Yeah. If we got four.
We got brother Pons from out of Seattle, Washington, bro. I'm telling you, man, this dude, when you hear him talk, it's going down. That's all I got to say.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I want one of y'all to introduce the brother, and then I want him to go ahead and tell us what exactly is going on with the Longshoremen's movement, what is needed from our listening audience and the rest of the world so that we can back the movement. And then, last but not least, how is he doing and how the rest of y'all doing in the fight, in the struggle? What do you see that is helping you? What do you see that is hurting you in the movement? Without further ado, I'll give one of y'all the mic and let you introduce Paul from Seattle. This is the Wise Words of One Gun Show, and we're talking about the Longshoremen movement right now.
Okay. His name is Brother Palms, P-A-L-M-S. That's his name, Brother Palms, and he's out of Washington. And what he's going to do, good morning to y'all, and God bless y'all, first and foremost. Everyone on this phone, especially Pastor Williams, good morning to you. God bless you as well. Brother Palms, he's going to articulate what that Longshore textbook is about and all the perjury that's involved with that textbook. So I'm introducing you to Brother T. Palms right now, and Brother Marvell, everybody that's on this radio station, I appreciate listening to every last one of y'all. God bless y'all.
All right. Good morning to each and every one of you. My name is T. Palms, registration number 57771. I'm a longshoreman out of Seattle, and I'm grateful for each and every one of you. And for the time that I've been allotted, thank you, Big V, for that kind introduction. Brother Ken, Brother Paul, they've done a phenomenal job of keeping the movement going. What I'd like to do is just explain to you what we've gone through as longshoremen for years. We've been denied benefits due to industrial injuries repeatedly. Claims are not being paid out as they should be, although we work in what we call a no-fault system, which means, for those of you who don't know, it means irrespective of fault, the claimant gets paid. What's happening throughout all of the regions that longshoremen work in, the self-insured companies, the insurance carriers are not in complicit to the act, meaning that they deviate from the Longshore Harbor Workers Compensation Act, which is the act that longshoremen use to validate their claims. Subsequently, by them not going according to the act, what it does is it denies us from the legitimate benefits that the act says that we're entitled. So I want to name just a few things just to get you all up to speed. Malingering is a term that is used typically in Afro-American longshoremen. They use this term to undermine the validity of our claims. They use these terms as a means to suggest that those of us who are black are just faking injuries to get paid. And this is so far from the truth. I have yet to find a claim from a white longshoreman that they use this term. So this is easily discrimination toward black longshoremen. The next thing I want to talk about is what we call presumption. And under the act, the presumption is given to the claimant who's been injured, meaning that once a longshore worker files a claim, the presumption is that the injured worker is in fact injured, okay? So that's working on his behalf. The third and fourth thing that I'm going to mention very quickly is that if you have a no-fault system, there's no need for an ALJ. There's no need for attorneys. And yet, some way down the road over the years, they've gotten away from paying out claims as they should have, and so they've found a way through working with ALJs, through working with these attorneys, because once the injured worker gets injured on the job, he's forced to go through what's called an investigative period, right? However, the company that injured us never provides a report to the extent of the injury or the investigation, right? So it's just a means of wasting time to try to force the injured worker back to work, okay? What ends up happening is when you hire these alleged attorneys, okay, they're on the payroll with the self-insured company, which is a conflict of interest because there's no need for an attorney. They're just supposed to take the claim, the injured worker's injured, and they're just supposed to resolve the claim. It's just numbers. What was his average weekly wage? What did he make per week? You know, what's the extent of his disability? All this information is already provided to them, but what they do is they bring in this attorney because the attorney works for the self-insured company that actually is supposed to pay you out. There's the conflict right there. Number two, what they do is they also have what we call the ALJ, with the administrative law judge, right? And the purpose of having the ALJ is so now we can litigate the claim when they're supposed to be paying out the claim. So by litigating the claim now, the ALJ who's on the payroll with the self-insured company is going to come in and deny the claim. None of this you'll find under the Longshore Harbor Workers Act because it was never intended to be litigated because the conflict of interest is you can't have a no-fault system and then be litigated. So either you have a no-fault system or you don't. So that has never been changed for a number of years. The last thing that I want to mention is that when these claims are being denied, not only are we not receiving the workers' comp benefits that lawfully we're entitled to, many times they'll pay it for a short period of time, and then they'll just stop paying it. They'll take away your health benefits so that you can't receive treatment. So the injury gets worse and worse and worse. Many of us suffer from psychological impairment. We suffer from physical impairment. And not only are we not receiving those benefits and treatments, it goes even further than that, because now we're also entitled to benefits if we were found to be totally disabled. Then we could medically retire out of the industry. They won't even let us do that. So now we're not only suffering from the injury, mental, physical, now we're suffering from not having any workers' comp benefits, and we can't retire. Okay? This is very, very, very disheartening. It's hurting a lot of our families for years. Okay? I've been out 17 years and haven't received any benefits. Okay? So, and I'm only 54, so you do the math, that's 17 years, okay? I want to say this. Here's the other thing that they do. They will pay your doctors off. So when you're going to what's called an IME, which is an independent medical exam, we already know what an IME, many of us who are on the line, an IME doctor is just a paid-off doctor for the company. So we already know that the IME doctor is paid to refute the claim, okay? And that's fine. I mean, that's just the process. However, when you go in front of an ALJ, the ALJ is never supposed to side with the IME doctor, because the law says that an IME doctor who's paid by the self-insured company is not credible, right? That's number one. Number two, he's not credible because he's not treating you. He can make a diagnosis, but he's not treating you on an ongoing basis. Therefore, the claimant's treating physician is supposed to carry the most weight in regards to not only his diagnosis, but his treatment moving forward. Under our act, they don't do that. They give the weight to the IME doctor to protect self-insured company that's supposed to be paying you. And this is the problem that we're having, is that claimants are not being paid their workers' comp benefits in its totality. We're not receiving the fringe benefits that we should be receiving as a result of our disability. And the fact is that if in fact the longshoreman wasn't fully capable of working, right? What benefit would it be for him to not work and claim that he's injured? None, because he's not getting paid. So any longshoreman that would go back to work after he's injured and he can't work only validates what they want, meaning the self-insured company, the ALJ, et cetera. But for somebody who's been out with no benefits for 17 years, okay, validates the claim. Not just because he's been out, but because his doctor said that he's totally disabled. Social Security says that he's totally disabled. And they've shifted the liability over to Social Security. But Social Security ruled that many of us are permanently and totally disabled. So all the evidence is there. But what they do is they drag it out for years. Many of us have been out for years with no compensation or anything. Okay? And so I'm happy to have this opportunity to share this morning just some of the things that we've had to go through. Lastly, I want to say this. At Local 19 in Seattle, there's a model that's on the outside of the hall in which we go to receive our job. And the model says this, and this came from one of the founders of the union, which is an injury to one is an injury to all. I've always advocated against it because it's not true. If an injury to one is an injury to all, that would mean that all of us who got injured would be compensated. Harry Bridges, who was the founder of the ILWU, that was his model. But somewhere subsequent to that, there were longshoremen that became part of the union who decided otherwise. So instead of following the trend that Harry Bridges set, they decided, on their own admission, well, we're going to change that up because we don't want these brothers to get the same benefits as we have. And so here comes the discrimination, okay? And so I'm so happy to have this opportunity. Thank y'all so much for the floor. I can take questions if y'all want. But, again, thank you so
yes,
much.
Yes, sir. All right. And so it's Mr. Palms, P-A-L-M-S.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay. So, Mr. Palm, this is Tim, DJ One Gone from the Wise Words of One Gone Show. And I heard your cry strength in it, right? Because you're not just crying for yourself. You're crying for everyone. And when I say cry, you know, you in the Bible says, oh, hear my humble cry. You ever heard that?
Right. That's right.
And so absolutely. That's what I mean. Not as a baby, but I want you to know that your cry is being felt by me. Now, what I just understood about the Longshoremen's movement is that these claims are men that have worked diligently for a company, for a system that won't take care of the workers when they get hurt. Is that mainly the point of view there?
That's correct.
Okay, so some of the people, all of the people that's in this movement have been injured. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so this is a cold piece of work that America keep doing to us, man. They work us until we can't work no more, and then they discard us like we trash.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm not for that. We shouldn't be for that. And I don't know how the system is for that. I don't see how you brothers have to fight. You say you've been out of work 17 years or injured 17 years or retired 17 years. I don't see how they ain't got you straight, brother. Without benefits, I heard. That's what it was. 17 years without benefits was the precise word. But watch this. That's the American way. The dog us, because we ain't got nobody that want to stand up with us to get what's ours. That's just like the reparations. They don't want us to get what's ours. Y'all deserve every penny that you ask for. Every penny. You've been doing work for this country to build and get things built and be a part of a movement that a lot of brothers ain't. You know, I ain't no longshoreman. I don't know what y'all do, but I do know that it's strenuous work, and you got to be up early, and you get off late. And so what I want to do is open up the line to all of the listeners and the panel to ask questions upon the information that you've given us. And so the number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Please give us a call. Mr. Palms is here along with Paul from the Hall, Big V and Ken, to talk about the Longshoremen's movement and how they've been discriminated against. You're letting all these folks through that damn border. You're giving them money when they get here. You just send out $96 billion in defense for a war that we ain't got no business messing with, but because you got interest in that, you want to talk. I got to go because our demand is putting in the window, but somebody, I need somebody to step up. Double R, where you at?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Big V. Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Big V.
Hey, listen to me. Now, Big V, I had three containers come off the ship, all loads. One landed on top of me, one landed on top of my tractor, one landed on the side of the crane in the ship, and one landed 100 yards in the water in the front of the ship, floating. And these was all loads. I made the national news for 3 days. 3 days I made the national news. And I like he said, the first thing Palm said was they got this format and pattern. It's called malinger. They think, and we already know that black people are not lazy. It ain't a black person on this earth that's lazy or malinger. And so that's right there. That's letting you know right there. There's a pattern, and then it's all related to what Palms is saying
along with, because they have this book out I keep throwing out there too. It's called the Longshore Textbook, and what they're doing is perjuring themselves with that Longshore Textbook, because everything they're supposed to be in compliance with, they're not in agreement with.
And that's the thing that we've noticed in all areas of life. And I think you guys got a good case. You just need the right people on board to push it through. You guys got to find that right connection.
Exactly. Because when we come out there on May the 8th, when you see this accident, once I show you this accident, you ain't going to believe how come I had three lawyers and all three lawyers opted out to represent me. What that means is that the insurance companies and the shipping companies and everybody and the insurance adjusters are paying these people off.
Yeah, they're all in cahoots.
Yeah.
They're all in cahoots, exactly.
And that's why it's important that we come together. See, we got to come together and fight for one another, else it's not going to be done.
Yeah,
one can't do it. It's just like with any union.
Yeah.
Those unions are working for the company.
Exactly.
They paid to get in there, get inside information, and go back to the company and figure out a way to throw it so they can throw the case out.
Exactly. What they're doing is they want for you to fall off their face of the earth so they don't have to pay you.
That's the whole thing. Prolong it till you die.
Yep.
That's right.
And they do that in the military. They like I say, that's the way they treat us.
Yeah, absolutely.
They use and abuse us, then throw us away.
They call it dirty dozen. You can work, but don't get hurt. You can die, but don't cry.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. It's imperative that we discuss this, and I'm glad you guys given us the opportunity to discuss this so whoever listening on this radio station can hear the facts, because I know out there there's a coalition of lawyers that's probably listening to this that can get together and say, well, we have the facts. We need some lawyers to come to our aid, because this fight is bigger than Watergate, bro. When this conspiracy come out, Watergate ain't got nothing on this.
My brother used to be a longshoreman in Oakland.
Yeah.
He's dead now. He told me a lot of things that went on back then.
Mm-hmm.
He was 80-something when he died. But it's just the injustice that we face. And you would think that it would be better by now, but it's not. It's getting worse.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not even, like I tell people, we used to be at the bottom of the totem pole. Now we're not even on the totem pole.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I second that.
And let me say this last thing. See, this is not just about us brothers on the phone and the movement right now. It's about the future. Shouldn't have to ever go through this again whatsoever. Because like Palm said, it's supposed to be a no-fault system. A no-fault system. They got zillions of dollars, and they don't want to pay you a penny, a red penny. I read something in the Longshore Textbook, in that Longshore Textbook saying that they do whatever they owe you at a rate of 20% on each dollar that they owe you. So
I can't wait to get
mine. I just don't want to fall off the map and not get it.
That's one of the reasons why they prolong it.
Yep,
that's right.
That's what they do it for, because that's all they ever did to us is made us promises.
Same thing with the reparations.
Yes.
Same thing with the reparations.
Yes.
You know, it's like I said before to you guys, it's always a double standard when it comes to black. I don't care. You never accept it. I don't care. You guys remember when what's his name? LeBron James moved. Was first got with the Lakers, and he bought a $20 million mansion in L.A. And the first thing they did was spray that NIGGA on his gate. Do y'all remember that?
Yes.
What is that telling you? I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what your status is. You're not accepted as a human being on this earth. That's what it is.
Yeah. You know,
well,
unfortunately,
it's that, and it's also rules to let you know you got this money, but there are certain things you can't do with it.
Yep.
You have to invest it back into us against
right.
your own people.
Yep. That's right. I second that.
I do want to add that, you know, when you have a corrupt system, meaning that the corrupt system is only able to work when all the parties do their part, okay? There's a section under the Longshore Act where the employer has to prove that you're capable of working. It's a burden that they have to show, and they never showed it in my case. In fact, they said, hey, Palms can do clerk work, for example, okay? But prior to me getting injured, PMA, the employer, sent a notice over to the union. They said, hey, Palms can't take clerk work. So I was on a no work to do clerk work, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, clerks at that time made a lot of money, probably twice as much as a longshoreman, okay?
Uh-huh.
So they were picking on me, and they were basically saying, hey, we don't want him to be able to make this big money. So we'll just say, hey, he can't do clerk work, right? So I was cool with it. It's all good. I just went on the road and made my money that way, all right? But
right.
what ended up happening was once I got injured, they started saying, oh, well, Palms can do clerk work. How convenient is that, right? Now, many of you don't even know anything about this, but what happens is they're able to override the presumption by showing that you can do clerk work, which means you make more money. Under the Longshore Act, if you make more money than you did prior to your injury, they're going to deny the claim because they're going to say you're no longer disabled.
Right.
You see the game?
It's
so what
catch,
they were trying
it's
to
a catch
do
22.
Was convenient when they wanted to play with my money, he can't do that kind of work. But once I got injured and I was unable to work, they were forcing me to take the test to show that I could do clerk work even though I didn't pass it. They sent a spy on me when I took the test. A white boy that they brought in the when I had to take the test, and what I did is I looked at him. I knew who he was, and I made sure he seen me taking pictures of the test because I knew what they was going to do. They was going to try to come back and say, Palms could do clerk work. He passed the test. That's why I wanted the white boy to see me taking pictures of it, so that way he going to go back and tell him, nah, that boy took pictures of this. So they didn't do anything with it. But the point is that they never made the presumption to show that there was work that I could do in the industry. And I should have been found totally disabled, but they didn't want to do it because of my race.
Right. Yeah, and like I said again, that's why it's important that we come together in unity. See, you can't
right.
fight because this is not just a longshoreman. This is a governmental thing.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
You can't fight a government without a government. It takes another government to beat a government.
Yeah.
But as long as we keep pushing for their money, we'll never get what we really deserve.
Right.
See, we got to take what we deserve. We got to
right.
take back what's rightfully ours.
Right.
And if we come together, we can do that. And it is time for us to march. And when we march, we're marching for all these things, all this injustice.
Absolutely.
Not just
right.
reparations, not just the longshoremen, but all the injustice that's been done
Absolutely.
To us. Because I was
that's
did
right.
an injustice. I worked, but a lot of my jobs was under the table. But I worked.
Right.
I tried to apply for disability. They wouldn't give it to me.
Wow.
They kept sending me to these doctors and coming up with other ailments other than my back, trying to put me on all this medication. And then I'm getting sicker and sicker, and I just finally woke up and said, I'm not taking no more medication. And the hell with the money, I don't need it. I'd rather live broke than to die in pain.
That's right.
And suffering is a part of our lifestyle. We learn to we've endured so much suffering.
Yes.
We're gonna endure a little bit more, but we gotta do this for our future, for our children. So that they won't have to go through this. Because God did not intend for man to work for another man.
That's
one of the major problems there. That's why our kids are like they are. We don't even get a chance to raise our kids. The schools raise our kids. The streets raise our kids. Because they want us to go out there, work, and build, destroy this earth, and build a utopia for them.
Yeah. So let me jump in right quick. I'm still gonna go back on mute, but I heard Mark the disciple. I was here hustling, and I heard Mark the disciple said that man's not supposed to work for man. Can you break that down for me? Unpack that for me, because I need to know what that meant.
God created every man equal. God placed us on this earth to enjoy this earth. Greed caused man.
Yeah.
To force another man to work for him, to take his portion and cause him to work for it and not own it, let alone own it, not even really gain it. So that's against God's plans right there. See, and you talk about injustice, you talk about this government. They don't recognize us as a people yet today.
That's right.
That's right.
They do not recognize us as that. Like I say, the alphabets got more rights than us, and they're gaining more rights as each day go by. I took a class yesterday, man, and they got to the gender part, man, I got to look at the hell is all this. They got flags.
Oh yeah, new flags.
And it's like 30 or 40 different groups within that group, and each one got their own flag.
Mm-hmm.
That you got to recognize. You got to treat them with respect. And I have a problem with that. I'm going to take Big Money Grip's words with that. I have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a different era. I grew up calling them something, and that's all I'm going to call them. So as long as they keep their distance and don't approach me, they won't be called that.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be arrested for calling them that. And that's not fair. It's not fair to us as a people, but yet still we vote for them. We trust them.
Right.
You know, I can't do that. I cannot do it. So we, like I say, it's imperative that we come together and fight.
Pardon me.
Like you said, like you posted yesterday, Tim, that it's time to march. It's time to march. And once we start, others are going to get on board.
Yeah.
Others gonna get on board. It's gonna take a while, but we gotta continue to do this. We gotta hold up the bloodstained banner.
Like Palms said. See, the whole thing is they want us. I'm 68 years old. I should have been retired at least 3 years by now. But I've been fighting my case. Going on September to be 8 years. Ain't no way in the world a claim so legitimate as mine that I can't get workman's compensation. Plus on top of that, their format is ain't no way. Listen to and answer this question. I want everybody that's listening on this radio station to answer this question. How in the heck if you get hurt on the job Once you get hurt on the job, you're supposed to get workman's comp until your case settled. They got a pattern to the point where these lawyers are allowing the injured worker to go on unemployment. And once the unemployment runs out, that's when the lawyer opts out of representing you. Once your resource went out, that's when the lawyer opts out of wanting to represent you. I even had the insurance adjuster call me. He didn't even say, hello, how you doing or how you feeling. You know what he asked me? He asked me, do you have a lawyer? And as soon as I said I didn't have a lawyer when I first got hurt, He hung up in my face.
What
is that telling you? What is that telling you right there?
Yeah. The cards are stacked against us.
Yeah.
Yeah, stacked against us.
Systematic.
That's what it is. But I want, this is why I'm on this radio station, because I know there's a coalition of lawyers listening to this, and we want them to just come in here and get the facts from us, because a picture speaks a thousand words. Not only that, like you said, it ain't just the physical trauma. You know what's really bad? That when I see these commercials on TV, these car accident commercials on TV, and I see these lawyers calling with these commercials, and they get their client millions of dollars, and they trying to offer us peanuts.
Yeah,
it's a double standard.
You know, I felt fighting for disability. When a person could go to the pen and get out, nothing wrong with a healthy and strong and get disability.
Right.
Here it is. I can't get it. So, like I say, I learned to live without.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But ain't no way to
walk. Like I said, we have to come together. And we have to find the attorneys that are not afraid to take this to court. And there are some out there.
Yeah,
there are some out there. We just have to find them. And I'm going to get on the internet and look and see what we could find, because we got to get a group together.
Because whoever takes it on going to set precedents. That's what they're going to do, is set precedents. Plus, they're going to make a name so big for themselves. Benjamin Crump is big. But whoever take this long short case on, because remember when I first started talking to you guys about this, the first thing I said was, who investigates the feds? Because we have a federal job. Who investigates the feds?
They investigate themselves.
Right.
Good job, son.
That's the way of wiping it out.
Exactly. Yeah,
no,
and then the thing is that no matter what attorney we've been for years, and this is why the claims don't get resolved, because the attorneys within the Longshore Harbor Workers Act, they work for the other side. Then when you try to go outside to get an attorney, they just pay them off.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the whole thing.
You can never get due process in a system that's being controlled. You know, so whether you get a longshore attorney, he's on their team. If you go get an attorney outside of that, they make a deal with him, and then they walk away from your case.
Yeah, I didn't have that done to me.
I've had it several times. Same pattern.
That's my whole thing. You know, the NAACP, all these other different groups, they're supposed to be working against those type of things.
Right.
But they don't. They don't. They just pass out the pacifiers.
Yeah.
And brush it and sweep it under the rug.
Hey, so we're listening to the Longshoremen Movement on the Wise Words of One Gone Show. We've been an hour into it. I hope that y'all enjoy what you're hearing. It's not for enjoyment, but it's to get the word out. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. I'm going to go to a song, some commercials, and we'll be right back. We thank y'all for ear hustling. This one for the Longshoremen's Movement. Y'all better get with this.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67. Our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67, every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
Holla at my homeboy Kenny Ken at Quick Fast Mobile Glass.
Let's heal.
Holla at my homeboy owner Kenny Ken. Let Ken fix it before you get the ticket. All your auto glass needs. Fix it that chip, or maybe, you know, you may need another windshield up in there. Kenny Ken got you.
Window on the sliding glass door. Let me tell you something. You know, it's a two-pane thing. So the rock hit one side and it shattered it, and we knocked it all the way out, but it still had the other side to it. And so instead of, taking that one out and trying to add another, you know how we like to nigger rig stuff, right? He did it professionally, and I love him for it. But he did. It cost me a little bit more, but he got the two-piece, right? He went on and ordered the whole frame, and he took that frame out and on the one side, and put it in, knocked off the frame, put in the window, man. I'm watching him. I said, you know what? I could have did this. And so some of the things that we can do that we're not used to doing, sometimes we have a fear of, you know, if I try to do it, I might mess it up and break it again, and then I end up having to call these folks that I didn't want to call in the first place, right? But I'm going to tell you about my brother. He came over here with the quickness. He measured it day before yesterday. The glass came in this morning. He ran out there, picked it up. Came in, he out of here already. He done got his money. So I'm going to teach these young folks how to put in car windows, because that's what he does. That's his expertise, is car windows, right? And so I got to give a shout-out to Ken, the quick, fast mobile glass guy, for coming through. If you need somebody to put in your automobile window, shower at the house, window at the house, just any type of glass, call Ken from Quick Fast Mobile Glass at 916-821-5774. That's 916-821-5774. He'll beat anybody. You know, he prides himself on beating everybody's price. That's what he prides himself. And then the other part of his pride is, he wanted the job to be the best job you ever seen done. Hey, it is the wise words of One Gone Show. I'm One Gone, and we got one more commercial.
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole?
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105.
Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words with One Gone Show, and We Can Work It Out In. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence is taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
With that being said, we got Big Day of Giving coming up. We got Big Day of Giving. If you go to Big Day of Giving and look up Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence, we'd appreciate it if you give us a donation. This year, we're looking to get on the board. Last year we did it, was our first year, and I guess people didn't know the work. They seen us on the news, and they said we're doing a good job, but when it came to donations, we didn't make it on the board, right? It was all the big wigs like Goodwill and all the rest of these nonprofits getting all the money that they already got. I'm like the longshoreman, man. Y'all treat me like a stepchild. Anyway, it's the Wise Words One Gone Show, checking in with our listeners. I see Jordan came back, so I'm going to go down to Joe and see what he got going on down there. And then Mama Chocolate, oh, Mama Chocolate, girl, Mama Chocolate, I'm gonna go to Joe first, but I'm going to be right there to you. Joe?
Yeah, Jimmy impressed me, and I just want to go back to him. He impressed me the first time I saw him at the Healing Circle, and that's the reason I stepped to him last night. As I said earlier on, we need more of that, more of the young men being able to come in, and observe and possibly be part, but observe what us elders do and what we talk about. I think that there was a big eye-opener for all four of those. All four of them. So, I applaud that 100, because that's a connection that's been missing. That is the main connection that's missing. These kids tell us that we old folks don't want to talk about pink shoelaces and polka dots. No, we don't. That's why I applaud what we did last night. We need to do more of that.
Ashe, ashe. Going to Mama Chocolate. Mama Chocolate.
Wine breathing. I'm in the building.
Ashe. Okay. I don't know what you may be doing, so I might have to keep moving. Because you normally a spit fire, and I see you got you I see smoke. Hey, it is the Wise Word of One Gonna Show You to put your hand up. Come on with it.
Hello.
Yeah, you right there?
Oh, okay. I didn't hear. You know, I just chimed in, but I just wanted to. I don't know what the topic is about this morning, but I just wanted to chime in and recap on yesterday, and I just wanted to say I wish that we could have been there in person. We're gonna get this Zoom together. We're gonna do this today. We're gonna figure this out because we're gonna be Zoomed up the next time. Roncelle read, this was something that he had more to say, but with little time and how everything was done, we scaled back, and we're gonna revisit that again, and I couldn't hear everything, but I did want to point out that the reason of him being on drugs for so long, and I've been preaching this for a long time, is that our youth don't have a space, a detox place or rehab for their age. And once again, I was being turned away because there was none available for his age at the time. He started at 15, 16. And so I'm calling all over, and there's no place. The only places that were available were things that I couldn't afford, which was $30,000 to $65,000 for a 30-day program. And so with that being said, you have kids that can't afford it but want the help. And so they're doing this every day. And what do you do at that point? If I'm not mistaken, Ms. Siobhan has created that space or is going to create that space for that age group. I digress.
Ashe. And so if you're not understanding what Miss Chocolate is talking about, she's talking about the fentanyl listening session we had last night and the fentanyl situation she's been dealing with since her son, Red, was in a car accident where it was three people in the car and Red was the only one survived the crash. He had brain damage and he was really messed up. And, you know, they give you them pills to get you healed. But, you know, pills don't heal you. They get you high, right? Pills don't heal you. Your bone's going to heal itself. That pill, that pain pill ain't going to heal you. Let me tell you that. That ain't going to heal you. It gets you hooked. And so she's been dealing with that. I've been watching her for many years, and she's a strong mother, a good advocate for her youth, her children, and the youth around her, because they call her Mama Chocolate, right? Not just her kids, but all the kids, right? And so she's dedicated to helping our young folks find a way to rid themselves from using stimulants. I'm not just going to say fentanyl, stimulants and all, right? And so that was her cry. And the last night, we have to touch on some things of like I said, somebody, my son said, well, you know, Brother Uncle Johnny said he got high for 40 years, and Uncle Johnny looked good. So if Uncle Johnny could do it, I could do it. And so I'm like, uh-uh, that's the wrong message to take from that. So we should have played down the downside of how we had to go to prison, how we struggled on the street, homelessness, how God saved us. We didn't save ourselves. God saved us, spared us to save somebody else. And that's why these men are doing the work that they do, and they be in these circles that they're in, because they have a mission from God to do. And so we should have pushed that message a little harder, because like I said, my son, he took away a different look from Johnny, Uncle Johnny, doing it for 40 years. But the main thing he took away was Jimmy. He said Jimmy scared him. He said he seen himself in Jimmy, because Jimmy's almost his age. And Jimmy came and dropped the mic. Jimmy said, I'm on it now. I had to get high just to come talk to y'all. I can't sleep. I'm twitching all the time. Yeah, he sure did. And he came, and the appearance of Jimmy scared my son. He said, man, whew. He kept pulling his pants up. How much did he weigh? 80 pounds? Oh, man, it scared my son. And so if that's what we need to do, Joe, that's what we're going to have to do, man. We're going to have more of that. And so next month, I'm setting up something right now. Now, what I need to do is get a stronger presenter. I need a stronger presenter, because my son said he didn't get anything out of the ladies that came and said that they trained folks. And he's like, well, they still need training. And so me and my wife looked at each other. Like I told y'all, we stayed up until 11. I got into bed at 11:30. I said, it's time to go to bed. My wife got to go to work. You got to go to school. We could have kept talking about this situation, man. We could have kept talking, because my son was really into conversing about what he saw, what he heard, and what we've been telling him, because we found him smoking weed. And because I started my first hit, well, I was 13, but I stopped because I didn't like to high, right? But I got back on the weed later on in life, right? And so my son ain't never seen me smoke no weed. He ain't never smelt no weed around, none of that, none of that. We don't have no beers in the house, no drink in the house, none of that, right? Every now and then I might have a beer when I'm fishing. Every now and then I might have a sip when I'm out amongst people, but I ain't gonna buy a bottle. I guarantee you that. But anyway, it ain't about me. It's about the stories that was told in this here listening session. Now we are gonna open the lines back up. Gonna open the lines back up, because I want to hear back from the longshoremen. I want to hear about what's their next move and how we can support them. I know that on the 8th, they'll be here in Sacramento. Like I said, we'll do a live broadcast. Live broadcast. All they have to do is call the number. I'm going to stay on the computer so I don't miss nothing. See, if I'm out and about, Y'all might be in the waiting room long time. You know how we get. Well, man, this dude ain't let me in. I want to say something right now. So I got to make sure that my job is done. So I will be here at home base. But I need to know, how can we assist the longshoremen do what they do so we can be a unit? Now, veer away from this conversation. Stay with us right here, because we need to know how we can, as a people, come together and be a vocal point for our brothers. Without further ado, I'm going right back to Paul from the Hall on the Wise Words of One Gone Show. Paul?
Paul. Big V?
Brother V?
Yeah.
Okay. Ken?
I'm here. Can I say this real quick?
And yes, you can.
Let somebody else. The only reason why they continue to do what they're doing is because nobody is challenging them. And the reason why nobody's challenging them, because they thought, well, nobody going to challenge them. They messed with the wrong ones this time.
Okay, so the question is, how can they help us? And the answer to that question is this. We need support. We need attorneys. And we need support and attorneys. That's what we need.
Okay. Let me ask this question. You said support. What does support look like? What does that look like?
Support looks like marching is support. Okay. Having the dialogue that we're currently having ongoingly. And, again, if anybody has references to attorneys that, you know, can't be easily paid off or anything like that, that would be a great asset for us as well.
Okay. Now, that's what support looked like. Now, attorneys, there's attorneys out here, and I'm asking myself as a listener, y'all have all this proof, all this information. Why isn't there an attorney that you all can talk to help you get through this situation? I mean, there's a lot of attorneys out there. Is it because they might be paid off, get your information and they might get paid off from the other side? I'm trying to figure out how come Ben Crump didn't pick up this case as big as it is, and it's harming our folks' retirement, because I heard Big V say I should have been retired 3 years ago, you know, and not just that, but why isn't there an attorney that just say, hey, you know, I'm finna take this case. You know, I ain't doing a goddamn thing. Let me get up over here and pick up this case and start rattling some feathers, getting these windows and doors open so we can get in. And I'm not understanding why there's not an attorney to take the case. Give me some background on that.
Here's one of the main reasons why. Number one, PMA and the employers, they have most of these attorneys on retainer, which means when you go to an attorney, they're going to take all your information and then they run it back to them. And then all they're going to do is prolong your case, never really represent you because they work for the other side, right? Or they will just outrightly just stop working on your case. I had an attorney that said to me, now, mind you, I've got all these physical injuries. I have a psychological impairment. All this stuff is on the record. And the attorney that I hired said to me, Palms, why don't you write your own brief? Think about this for a minute. I'm not an attorney. I'm a longshoreman who's injured. And you're telling me to write my own brief. Well, what do I need the attorney for? You see where I'm going?
Right.
So you got to be very sensitive when you go for an attorney, because they will play games. And what it said to me now, he wasn't a longshore attorney. He was a federal attorney in California. But once the other side realized, oh, Palms wouldn't have gotten an attorney, what I believe they did is they approached him and paid him to go away. And this happens repeatedly. This is why
were unable to get the due process that were lawfully entitled to because they go to the attorney and they pay him to go away. It's cheaper for them to pay that attorney to go away than it would be for them to resolve all these claims.
Yes. May I say something, adding on to that? I was on my third attorney, and my third attorney seen the evidence, and when I sent her all the paper, all the documentation, everything, and the first thing she said to me, she went from day to night on me. What she said was, "You got a legitimate claim, and we're gonna file a class action suit after we settle your case. We're gonna file a class action suit in your name on your behalf." And a couple of weeks later, I got a phone call from the same lawyer, and she said, "Guess who called me?" And I wholeheartedly said, "Who? Tony Walker?" Because Tony Walker is the home port insurance adjuster. And when I said, "Who Tony Walker?" She said, "Yeah," like she had hit the lottery. Right then and there, I knew that she had been bought out by those maritime law. So what is that telling you?
Oh Lord Jesus. We have okay. Sister Clarice with a hand up. Let me see what Sister Clarice got for us. First Lady of Radio, go ahead.
Actually, I think I made a mistake. I was getting back on the line, but I'm hearing about these attorneys because I've got some situations too. And, yeah, I'm just going to go back and listen to it and pick up the information. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. And so... Wow, man, this seems like a big, 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 big under the rug kind of thing.
Conspiracy.
God, dog. Yeah, man. Yes, sir, it is big. Big, man. Shit.
If you knew how many longshoremen who've been sitting on the sidelines and their claims are unresolved, and the reason why they're unresolved is once that ALJ shuts your claim down, and you attempt to go out and try to find an attorney, that attorney has to let the other side know that you've paid them to represent you. The minute they find that out, they just pay the attorney off. That's the problem.
I can't understand that, but I guess a lot of things I don't understand, so this is going to be one of the big headaches for me. Okay, so let's talk about May 8th. Let's talk about what does that look like? May 8th, coming to the Capitol, 9 to 11. What does that look like, and what do you need, and how do you need it?
Again, access to attorneys, legitimate attorneys that can't be and don't want to be paid off, who have the sensitivity to understand what all of us have gone through for years, and they're not willing to be bought off. You know,
we got somebody with some background disturbance right there, a little TV, radio, something. If you don't mind, mute yourself if you're not talking. Thank you. Mr. Palms, go back and say that again.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Having access to some attorneys that can't be paid off will be first and foremost what we need. We need an attorney. Because of the duration of time that we've been aggrieved, and we don't have any benefits. We don't have any compensation. We're not receiving medical benefits, any of that stuff, okay? So 17 years I've been suffering when I made over hundreds of thousands a year at the time I was working. 4 years I was in the industry. I came in the industry at about 34, 35 years old. Before I hit 40, I was medically disabled. Now, I'm not even going into the fact that I believe that they did this intentionally. They dropped me in a semi-truck, slammed me in the pavement 3 times, tore my rotator cuff, I have spinal stenosis up and down my spine, PTSD, major depressive disorder, somatic symptom disorder, and the list goes on. So when you think about that, this man can't work. He lost over $100,000 a year, and he don't get nothing? And I got a family. I got kids. All right. Mm-hmm. I speak not just for Palms, but I speak for every longshoreman under the sound of my weak voice
because all of us have endured so much. Not just me. I speak on behalf of every longshoreman that has been ostracized and done unfairly.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. So,
yes, sir.
Give me a ratio. How many Hispanics longshoremen is fighting for the same claim? How many, a percentage?
I got a group of brothers that's Hispanic that's going through the same thing as well. It's minority based.
Just give them a number.
That's all.
Just give them a number.
I say 10, at least 10-15%.
Okay. What about Asian?
I couldn't give you that information.
I would say it'd be less.
Yes, it'd be less.
The number would be less than black folks.
Yep.
Okay. Because so you see what I'm getting at? I'm trying to figure out, is this a discrimination against people
Absolutely.
Of color? That's what they call it now. They only just let blacks be in their own lane. They don't let us be in our own lane. They say people of color, right?
Right.
And we all got right. color, shit.
Right.
But
right.
what I want to say is May 8th is I know that you're saying that you're coming to Sacramento. Marvell has talked to Dale McKinney to see if he can set up a meeting with you all to talk to him. He's former Black Panther. He is the real deal, right? He real deal, and he we stand with Brother Dale, right? Brother Dale is a real one, so. I don't know how, because Dale gonna tell you if he can work with it or not. He gonna tell you what it look like, what it don't look like, and I'm gonna leave it on to Dale to put that in play. But when you get here to Sacramento, like I said, we're gonna have a room so we can meet Bishop. We need to meet Bishop. I do. Marvell and them went to Oakland and met him. But I want to meet and greet him. Not only that, I want to be able to sit down and let him talk to Marvell and a few others because he said he doesn't have a team of 10 to even push the message that he has. And so we want to make sure that we get an ear on that so we can help him the best way we can. I'm just going to speak the truth, best way we can and how we can. And so nothing beats a failure if you don't try. That's right.
Yeah.
And so we're going to try. And so let's get it together as people and see what we can do. I see Mama Chocolate is back on the line. I don't know if she want to say anything. Mama Chaka, you have anything to say about what you heard so far?
Our longshoremen have union reps. Are you in the union? Okay. I didn't know exactly what a longshoreman was. So while y'all was talking, I was Googling. At the end, it just had some stuff about union reps. But moving forward, can you explain to me what's actually going on so I can really jump in? Because what I'm hearing is you were trying to find a lawyer that can't be paid off. And that's impossible if you're asking someone to find a lawyer that can't be paid off. We don't know that. How can somebody determine that? So that's my thing. How long has this been going?
Years.
Okay, so let's, Brother Palms, you're new to the show, but I want you to answer just what you just heard from Miss Chocolate.
Miss Chocolate, thank you so much for your question. And one of the things is that, you know, once we're injured as longshoremen, there's a process in which the claim is supposed to go through to be resolved. But that process has been diminished and changed over time to the extent that they actually use it to deny the claim instead of paying the claim. We work under the guidelines of a no-fault system, which means irrespective of fault,
we're supposed to get paid, period. They're only supposed to calculate numbers, and they're supposed to pay us. They're supposed to give us our medical. None of this fighting for 17 years to get your benefits, okay? That's not supposed to happen. You're not even supposed to go in front of an ALJ. You're not supposed to have to hire an attorney. None of that stuff. So this is all things that they've implemented in the system to deny the claim so they don't have to pay them, all right? Secondly, with respect to the attorneys, when we bring on an attorney, these guys have so much money. We work in a billion-dollar industry. So these guys got money. So what they do is when you go hire an attorney that they can't control, they just go pay the attorney off. Subsequently, we're left with no representation. And this goes on. I had personally 5 attorneys. Every time I tried to advocate for my claim, when I seen that they were doing things inappropriately, they threatened to walk away from my case. This is why you'll hear almost every longshoreman have the same story in regards to having numerous attorneys, because these attorneys know that their job is to make sure that they work for the other side and not for the claimant.
I digress. Well,
okay, may I step in? This is Ken. Yeah, now, if you, they have a group of attorneys, folk rehab specialists, so-called specialists, they're all in a part on the scheme of writing the book. So the Longshore textbook, 4th, 5th, 7th edition, where they have all contributed to the books of how to minimize your claim or just disown your claim. And they are benefiting from this book off on Amazon. So they're all in cahoots writing chapters in a book on how to minimize claims. And we are the ones mainly up here in Northern California, which predominantly black, poor, are all being denied.
Right.
So if you go through the textbook, you'll see how each of them writing chapters. Now, I don't have a problem with you want money off a book, but if it's a book that's in bad faith to minimize and disown legitimate claims, then they shouldn't be profiting off of this. And that's what I want to highlight. I have a rare disease myself. I have a neurological that's rare and around the same time. And I'm stuck. And just like Brother Palm said, we had the same problem. Had an attorney, I called him and asked for an update on my case. After that, he dropped me. And these are the ones that are writing books and benefiting. So if you corner the market like that, you have no chance of getting your case heard or finalized in any way. And the main corporate is that FSA terminals and Tony Walker.
Right.
That is the most, well, it's always been a word saying, don't ever get into there.
Right.
These people are horrible. It's the worst company ever to work for. And now that you see it, most of us have problems with SSA terminals, home board insurance, and Tony Walker, and they're the worst person, I mean, these are the worst people to ever have to deal with on turf. They pay off everybody.
Okay, we have
We have a window open.
I hear something.
Yeah,
somebody needs, please, there we go. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, Governor, can I get in on this? I got one resolution for you, attorney. Okay, I just sit back and I'm here doing a little work. Just pick my car up. That's what you get. But look at here, man. These attorneys, and you can do that. You can Google. You can complain. Put a complaint on every attorney that cut it down. There's an attorney site. I did it before years ago, and I can't really remember the site, but there is a site for complaints on attorneys. You can have them. You were right. It will go. It's down. You go all the way down to the major. And this is not biased. It's a person that oversees these attorneys, and you would do a complaint, and it will be a investigation on these attorneys. So that's one thing I can tell you. The next thing I think the resolution was, I was going to say something about Dale. I think you guys already covered Dale. You need this black attorney that won't sell out. I yield.
Ashe, appreciate that. Appreciate that, Double R, in the car. And you are in the car. Hey, so you listen to Wise Words with One Gone Show. I want to let y'all know that our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, is not here today. I'm filling in for him, doing a whole bunch over here. So if you hear any noise on my back end, it's because I have some workers out that I'm working with. They're young folks, and they call all day all day, right? And so I just want y'all to know that we are a show of love. We are a show of love. And so, Mama Chocolate, I don't know if they answered any of your questions, but your phone line is back open. Okay. Maybe you want to chime in on what you heard so far.
Yes. kind of sort of they answered, but at the same token, as you guys were giving the percentages of how, you know, black, you know, how many people are longshoremen, the ethnicities. So, and I keep hearing you saying black attorneys. So I'm thinking, in my just listening to you guys, I would rather have an attorney that is, it don't matter what color he is, if he has been in this game and has won these cases regarding longshoremen, that's the person I want to represent me. I get that you're saying that you want somebody black, right, to fight for you, but you're not finding anybody black right now. So have you done the research outside of California? Or, you know, I'm just asking, brothers, I'm just asking. And then you said that you were working for this company for years. I'm having an issue when you said you worked for years and then you didn't have medical and all this, but you stayed there. Now that you have these injuries, right? You don't have any insurance. I'm not understanding the process of why you guys are suing them. I mean, you want your money. What didn't you get out of this whole process by working as a longshoreman for those many years? I digress.
So, Mama Chocolate, what I think you didn't hear is that all of these brothers that's on this movement, the longshoremen's movement, have been injured, and they have claims that have been turned down or not been dealt with, right? And so it's about how they misused them, right? After they got hurt, they no longer needed them, and so the claims that they have, maybe they may be valued, they may be true, they may be, they are true claims, but they don't want to pay these folks. That's what it is. They don't want to give them their benefits. They don't want to give them nothing. But I don't even think they got workman's comp. Did y'all get workman's comp when you got hurt, or what happened with that?
Temporarily. This is Palms. What they'll do typically is they'll pay you for a short period of time. It could be 2 years. It could be 3 years. But when you have a permanent total disability, you're not able to work. So, you know, what they do is when they find out the severity. Now, mind you, they know the severity of your injury because they use the other doctors to invalidate your claim. Right. So once they know you're totally disabled, let's say your doctor comes in and says, like, my palm is permanently and totally disabled. They go get that IME doctor, and that IME doctor, they're going to tell him what to say. Now, you got to say that palms can work.
right? So now when we have a conflict of kind of interest with the claim, because now it shows where we got two different opinions. That's when they bring in the ALJ that's getting ready to shut your claim down. Because now it's going to look like, oh, well, there's two opinions, and now we got to go in front of the ALJ to determine who's more believable. They're going to go with the IME doctor.
There it is.
Because the ALJ is on the payroll, too.
Right.
Okay.
This is why, ma'am, with all due respect, when you hear us keep saying that we need an attorney, okay, we've been through, I had five attorneys, and they was all white. Okay, mm-hmm. They don't do the same thing because they're a part of the system. And their job is to deny that claim. If they don't make sure that they deny that claim, they don't get their money.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
They're being told by their bosses, meaning mm-hmm. Homeport Insurance, the self-insured company, are telling
SSA.
What to do.
Okay.
SSA is the employer. Homeport Insurance is a self-insured company. Okay? They're the ones that handle the claims, the injury claims.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. So that was a very good question. Thank you for asking your question. I hope I was able to give you some insight on how the system works, you know.
Yeah. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. And you know, not to veer off your topic, but this is kind of reflecting because you guys are you get SSI, right?
Well,
you guys.
I don't receive SSI. I receive
SSDI. SSDI. Okay. And I'm gonna say this to say, I kind of understand where you're going with this because my daughter, she has this kind of similar issue regarding mental disability and physical disability and these hearing officers and the actual person that has the claim. Your claim goes to another person and another person, and it's all over the place. And then when you want representation, they're not local, and then they don't. And I do agree as far as all these attorneys, but how can you determine that? And I just, is there a higher platform, like, other than attorney that you got that you can go to because the attorneys are not working for you in your best interest? So what does that look like? Where do we go from there? You know, do you have to, what's the higher level other than the attorney? I digress.
Thank you so much for the question. So just to give you an example, you know, I took my case to the Ninth Circuit. And when I took my case to the Ninth Circuit, the attorney that I hired at the Ninth Circuit, now mind you, the Ninth Circuit will allow you to have representation if you don't have income. So if you're injured, for example, like us as longshoremen, and many of us haven't been compensated for years, they will provide an attorney for you. Okay, but when I asked, okay, originally I had an attorney, okay, who said that he was would represent me at the Ninth Circuit, but then I knew that they got to the attorney because he said this, Palms, why don't you write your own brief? Well, if he's an attorney, why is he asking me to write a brief when I'm not an attorney? That's what he went to school for. See, that's the game. Because the other side told him to get me, to try to get me to represent myself. See, the minute I would have wrote a brief, he would have walked away from the case. That's the game to try to get you. See, a longshoreman can't navigate those waters at the Ninth Circuit. Attorneys know that. That's why you have to have representation when you get to that level, because we weren't trained how to do legal work. That's what they're getting ready to send you through. So this was just another move for them to say, hey, we know Palms don't know nothing about this system up here. So if you can get Palms to write the brief, then now we can say he knows how to represent himself, and thereby we just going to deny the claim.
Okay. So can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So for me, a brief, basically, I would have taken it that way. I would have said, okay, a brief. Basically, you're talking for yourself. You're representing yourself because don't nobody know what you're going through but you. So
okay,
let me
stop you right there. Here's the problem
okay.
with that.
Okay.
I have a psychological impairment. All right.
Okay.
I suffer from PTSD, so now
yes.
writing a brief forces me to relive the trauma. So if I
okay.
write the brief, guess what they're gonna say? His PTSD. He ain't really got. See, that opens the door for all of that. You see.
Mm-hmm.
I've already had my psychiatrist say, "Nah, Palms, you can't do none of that." Now
okay.
that my doctor's on record saying Palms can't do any of that, if I do that, they're gonna use it against me.
Right.
All I'm saying is a lot of times I have to advocate for myself, and whether that looks like I'm a talker. I like to ruffle up feathers, but at the same time, I'm going to let them know you're not walking in my shoes. You don't know how I feel. This is what's going on with me. I would record certain things even with my kids because just like on the fentanyl stuff, nobody really understands what it is when a person is under those type of drugs, right? Or nobody knows the pain level. I don't know your pain level. I would advocate for myself and say, hey, Judge, Your Honor, I deserve this. I deserve this because of this, 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 and this. I don't need a lawyer to tell you what I'm telling you about my stuff. I go through this every day. Nobody is living my truth. This is me in a nutshell, and I would just digress like that. I digress.
Okay, now, in response to that, I hear everything you're saying. Here's the problem. You're making that declaration to a judge or an ALJ who is paid by the other side. They don't care about none of the things what you just said. Their job is to deny the claim. Okay, so again, we're fighting a system that goes all the way up the top. The administrative law judge is paid off. The attorneys are paid off. And
the
doctors, we can advocate
the vote
the doctor, all of them. Okay? So this is a very controlled system. So when you say advocate for yourself, I understand and I agree with you in advocating for yourself. But in this system, it means nothing because ultimately they're getting paid to deny your claim and they're going to do their job so they can get their money, which means they're going to throw us under the bus. And that's why you see all of these longshoremen whose claims have not been paid out.
And
not only that,
have you made a platform? I'm thinking because my mind is going right now. You want to get
yes,
the
ma'am.
Word out about this. Have you guys
yes,
gathered up all the longshoremen that have not had their claims taken care of? If you've done that, then do a platform and go on. I would blast it out. I would call the news. I would do everything to make note of this is what's going on in our situation, in our longshoreman claim. And I would go that way. I would go to the news.
And we've
I would
done
go to
that,
it. I would
been
go
trying
to the
that.
Platform. I'm sorry?
We've
been lying.
We've been there. We've been marching.
It's the media.
It's media. I would go media. I would go media. I would go media. I would have my eyes dotted, my T's crossed, and have everything for that person because reporters like to report news.
Excuse me.
They
mm-hmm.
think
yes,
this
ma'am.
Is they
okay.
like to report.
Okay, Mama Chocolate, mm-hmm. hold on. I'm gonna put you on mute just for a minute. I need y'all to clarify that for her so she'll know y'all been there, done that. This ain't yesterday's news. This ain't last year's news. Y'all been doing this.
Yeah.
Y'all been on this trail for a minute. She need to understand that because all she hears what you say, but she didn't hear the part that y'all been through this already. Y'all done this already.
Right.
And you're trying to get more people behind you so the word could get out. And on the 8th of May, I'm hoping when you go to the state capitol that the news from Channel 3. I heard Paul say Channel 3 and 13 show up, and therefore you all will be able to blast him again in this year.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Because
the Dirty Dozen.
This is
we talking about U.S. Department of Labor, Kaiser, OSHA, all maritime lawyers, occupational health.
Yeah.
I can go on and on and on.
Folk rehab guys, they all in bed.
Mm-hmm. In the same cahoot.
Okay, so what I also want Mama Chaka to understand is that, because she knows a lot, but she ain't in the know about what y'all talking about, right? So watch this. This is the other thing about this. You all have a movement that is kind of like the reparation movement to me, right?
There's
a debt owed, and these suckers don't want to pay it. There's a debt owed. So I'm going to sum it up like that because I can understand that a little clearer, and some of our listeners out there can understand that clearer, that it's just like the reparation. It's a debt that's owed, and the folks don't want to pay, and they'll do anything not to pay. That's just like the government. The government just sent $96 billion to a war we ain't got nothing to do with, but you ride down any street in California, even in the rich neighborhood, they had a homeless man in there. Do you know they called the police and moved him to the ghetto, moved all this stuff to the ghetto, and dropped him off and say, stay here. You can't come over here, but you can stay right here around the rest of them. So it's a whole game that the government play. And my thing is, we don't march. Now, I looked on the TV again and seen where the Palestinians is still going at it strong.
Yeah,
about what they talking about over there in Gaza. It ain't got nothing to do with us. See, we got stuff that's got to do with us, and we ain't paying attention. We paying attention to everything else but what we need to. Right now, it ain't no way that we should pay rent no more. I don't think we should pay mortgage no more. I don't think we should pay taxes no more. I don't think we should vote no more. And I think we all should show up at the White House. I don't care if they can't move a car in Washington, D.C. That's how real it got to be for them white folks to change anything for us.
Yeah,
that's right.
But long as we keep our eyes closed and our mouth shut and let it go do what it do, that's what it's going to do. It's going to do what it do. We have to... Yeah. Stop. We have to say, you know what, we built this country, we ain't paying nothing else. Y'all owe us already, so I ain't paying nothing else. And we all got to do it. We got to sit down. I remember one time the gas went up so high about 10 years ago, people say, hey, man, don't nobody buy gas on this day.
Right.
What happened is nobody bought gas. It was some suckers that went and bought gas, but there's a lot of them that didn't. That price went down so fast because they got to get that. They got to bring the next shipment in. They had nowhere to put it. So I just wanted to make sense out of nonsense, and it's hard to do. It's hard to make sense out of nonsense, but we look like we're coming up on the right side of the track right now, because what I know about this country, when they owe money to people in this country, you got to fight for it, and you got to fight hard.
Oh, yeah.
But they going to let these people come in the border. I got my neighbors. I live in Elk Grove. I got three Ukraine families that just moved in when I moved in. They live right next door to each other. You know how they got them houses? The government. The government.
Oh, yeah.
And they riding in better cars than I am. Brand new shit.
See?
I ain't going to lie. They brand new.
Yeah,
brand
that's
new.
Correct. Yeah.
So we got to wake up as a people. We got to do something as a people, and the time is now. We can't wait. No, we can't wait another 5 years.
We can't wait no more.
The longshoremen, they waiting on y'all to pass away.
Yeah,
exactly.
They waiting on y'all. They trying to wait y'all out. I'm going to tell you this now.
Yeah.
The man told me 17 years he ain't got no benefits. I know they trying to wait this brother out because he got a claim. Anytime exactly. that Social Security say that you can get that money, and you got to go through some hoops to get that, and if doctors, if the doctors at the Social Security office, because they mean business when they don't want to give you no money, they bring them doctors in front, and you got to go to court in front of a judge, and you have to get a lawyer to fight to get that claim. So if they are giving you all Social Security, that's another. Yep. Put the stand on. Hey, man, they done gave me this. Why you can't give me that?
Here's the thing with that. If Social Security found me this totally disabled, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm just referencing me. Then the same information is the same information that the Longshore system has, right?
Yeah.
Which means
right. They
should never invalidated the claim because it's the same information. They're just showing you that, hey, man, we don't care what anybody else say. We do what we want to do over here.
That's what
they're saying.
There it is.
Okay.
That's what
pardon me, you guys. You know what I want to say? Now, you know the same guy that wrote this Longshore Black Law textbook, the same guy who trained these judges and Stephen Henley back in Washington, D.C., hires all the judges, so they all know one another. They all in cahoots. They're writing books and making money on how to undermine our claim, and they're benefiting off of Amazon selling that book or numerous books.
Yeah, and I just want to say this real quick. Even though this is going on my 8th year of trying to get my claim validated, this would have been my 24th year down on the waterfront. I work 7 days a week. So I know dang well I'm not malingered. I'm not lazy. I ain't never been lazy. I've been working since I was 14 years old.
Same here.
My goodness.
I worked for the government prior to going to the Longshore.
Hey. Y'all listening to the wise words of One Gone Show. We're running out of time. I'm going to play one gospel show. I got kids out there I got to go check on. It's lunchtime for them. But, man, I want y'all to know that we stand behind y'all, need to know how we can get right beside y'all on the 8th. So tomorrow, please call in. We're going to have Mama Chocolate talk in depth about fentanyl. She's going to have a session tomorrow if she's available to do so. And we got some young folks I'm going to have call in. And I want you to know that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Make sure that you give him his praise so that your day can be better as the day go by. I'm going to play this one song. We are off the air. I thank y'all. Call back tomorrow. But I need the longshoremen to listen to this one right here because your best days have yet to come.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
Your best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah. People told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, what a my brother.
You ain't seen your best day.
Would you deposit this word in your heart?
You
I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.
Come to tell you tonight, be blessed. In fact, just look at three people around you, tell them, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Bishop, I was on an airplane on my way to see you, and the Lord began to speak to me and said, write these words as encouragement to the saints around the world.
Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. Be blessed wherever.
Somebody tonight, all of the hurt and the pain that you've gone through, God's got an answer for you tonight. You might be hurting,
you
might be crying,
you might be crying,
you might be worrying,
you might be worrying and frustrated too.
Let me encourage you.
Keep on praying.
plane that day.
My.
I thought about everything you've been through.
Yeah.
And everything the people of New Orleans have been through.
Oh, we've been through a lot.
And I started thinking, what is the solution? And God said, tell him to pray.
That's it.
And watch him change.
Watch
things.
God change.
Woo!
Yeah.
I pray for you.
Oh. And you pray for me.
You pray for me. And watch God change things. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. And watch God change things. Oh, if you just get on your lunch break, would you just take a moment out to pray for me? Cause I'm gonna be praying for you. One God. Now, you know what's gonna happen if you pray for somebody around you. Just look at somebody and tell them, I'll pray for you. You pray for me. What's getting ready to happen? Watch God change me.
Won't it change? Won't it change?
You pray for me.
Tomorrow on the Wise Words of One God Show. Peace and blessings to y'all.